You're listening to the Sermon Podcast from St. Albans Episcopal Church in Waco, Texas. Find us online at stalbanswaco.org to learn more.
Let us pray. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. My life, and probably your life, would be a lot easier if we could travel directly. And when I say that, I mean as the crow flies. If you could get from one place to another and not have to take any turns, not have to get in your car, get on a bus, get on a plane, do anything, but just directly walk, fly, or drive straight, I think my life would be a lot better, and I think yours would be better too. I would be the only one out there. You would be the only one out there. No turns, no nothing. You wouldn't have to take your life into your own hands on Valley Mills. You would never have to look at 35, High 35 again. It'd be very nice. And I assume in movies that have cars where people are driving fast, like the Fast and the Furious movies, that's what these movies are about, right? The street, like getting somewhere fast, getting somewhere directly. Which is odd because there's like 12 of these movies. So it's not as direct as you would think. But don't hear this church as a church that hates the Fast and Furious movies. I like them. But so often a straight line is not what we get. We don't get to go directly to something. We have to get out there. We have to go through TSA. We have to get on a plane. Yeah, thanks. We have to get on a plane. We have to, that plane has to like figure out, are there any storms? Is there a big mountain in the way? If you're on, I don't know if you get on ships, but if you get on a ship, you have to figure out the weather. You have to figure out the high seas. If you are hiking, it's not very simple to just go directly to a mountaintop. There's a long and winding way over creeks, over bridges, rivers, rocks. The direct way is not the best way, typically, in these situations. And when we are talking to other people, the same thing comes up. It's not always the best thing to talk directly about something you want to talk about. And you know this because you talked, I hope you talked to other people. Yeah, I know you talked to other people. But even in some cultures, directly talking about a subject, the thing you want to get across, it's not always polite to immediately go to that thing. You talk around it, you sit down, you have tea, you have coffee, and then you mutually come together to talk about what you want to talk about. Indirect speech. So we feel this way too, and I think people in the Bible felt this way as well, that going directly to God kind of feels a little, I don't know about that. If you've been at a new church, if you've been to a new place, if you sat in the parking lot for 30 minutes hyping yourself up to like get into a new space, or even coming in and seeing the weird things people are doing, they're bowing to this cross that comes, people are touching themselves, crossing themselves, like this is real wine in this cup. All of these things can feel foreign and can feel, can off-put us in some ways when we are coming to God. Ancient people would also have their temples set up in a way where high priests would only be able to go to a certain part. Not everyone is allowed to go everywhere. And when we are training people to help serve us at the altar, at this holy table here, people can kind of get stiff. People can get like, oh, I don't know. Can I cross this threshold? Do I need to be doing something? It's an anxiety that still sits with us today. And although it sounds ridiculous, I do think we feel like we can't approach God because we don't feel perfect, or we don't even sometimes feel like we're good enough for many things. So why would we be good enough to go approach God? We have to take the long route. And our readings today talk about people that go to God. Job is admitting, oh, I didn't know God the way I thought I did. In the Gospel of Mark, this man, this blind man, goes directly to Jesus. And in the letter to the Hebrews, the author of the letter to the Hebrews talks about how Christ, our great high priest, allows us to go directly to God. In this letter to the Hebrews, which is more of a sermon, but whatever, semantics. Although Christ was human, he was also God. And what he does and what he did completely changes the world around us. This author of the letter to the Hebrews calls Jesus a great high priest and separates what a human priest can do as opposed to our great high priest, Jesus Christ. So in the ancient world, I talked about how you can't always go everywhere in temples and in churches. You need a holy man and you need a holy or a holy woman to help you do what you need to do. You need a priest. You need someone who to make sacrifices on your behalf. And these were real sacrifices that were made. And these priests, these holy men and women, served as intermediaries between the people, between me and my sin, and getting right with God. I would need a priest to come make that sacrifice for me. That's why within the Old Testament, within the Hebrew Bible, we have all of these laws around when you need to sacrifice a dove, when you need to sacrifice a lamb versus a cattle, all of these things. And there's all this language, too, around getting together and making a meal with God is kind of how you can think about this. We get some of that language, too, at our altar, where we are our holy table for Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper. You might have heard these words. You hear the language of eating, you hear the language of drinking, of coming together and communing with God, the bread and the wine. It's a lot of language of dining. And we believe that God is truly present when we get together and when we share this meal. So, the idea is that this priest is separate, closer to God, and I need someone to help me get there. I need someone to help me get there. The author of Hebrews says something different, though, about Jesus, this great high priest, this new high priest that we have. In verse 24, the author says that Jesus continues forever. He does not die as we die. In verse 27, unlike other high priests, he has no need to offer sacrifices every single day to get better, to continue to cleanse himself so that we can be cleansed. But he did this once and for all when he offered himself. All of this ties in with this idea. He is able, says the author, for all time to save those who approach God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. You can read this save as save completely. He's able to save completely those who approach God through him. We think often of Jesus coming into this world and doing something just for us, just for me and for you. But this idea of saving completely is saving the bricks that are in the ground, the wood that's on the wall. All of creation is saved with the work of Christ. And he's called an intercessor. An intercessor is someone who prays on someone else's behalf to God. If you look at the back of your bulletin, there's a number of names, people we pray for. Whether they're here, whether they're abroad, serving in the military, all sorts of folks are in the back of your bulletin. And we pray for them. We intercess for them. We pray intercessory prayer. And this is what Jesus is called by the author of Hebrews. He intercedes for us now. The author says, and we read elsewhere in the New Testament, that he, and when he ascends, is seated at the right hand of God, and our prayers are heard and brought to God through Jesus Christ. We can approach God directly through this mediator, through this advocate, through our intercessor. So, God comes to us, full stop. God comes to us in Jesus Christ, and we are able to know who God is and go to him because of Jesus. He is able for all time, verse 25, to save completely those who approach God. And save you from what, you might be asking. Your life might be pretty good right now. I don't know, maybe it is. Maybe it's not. If your life is going well right now, congrats. Gold star. But maybe you've looked around at some point in your life, maybe not right now. And you have got that feeling that everything isn't right, that something is deeply wrong, maybe not with yourself, but with the people that are around you and the situations you find yourself in, the fear, the anxiety that comes about in daily life. You know that there's more than tirelessly working, and you want to be home, you want to be with your family, and you always feel like you're left behind. You know you are not supposed to feel as lonely as you feel or as anxious as you feel. You felt the love of friends. You felt the love of family. And you ask yourself why you can't feel that as well, why you can't give that back to other people. You know that your body isn't supposed to betray you before you're ready for it to start shutting down. And here we are. You know that something is wrong, something is off. There is a crack in our world, and we can feel it. And despite what you've been told, God has come to our world to be with us, to be with you, to know what you know. That's why Jesus Christ becomes a human, to know what we know, that something is off in the world. And Jesus sees what is wrong, feels what is wrong when he's one of us, and promises to make all things well. I think that you hear a lot of condemnation. I think that you hear it often from other people, but I think also that we hear it from ourselves. We hear it from that little voice inside of us that tells us we're not good enough to even be here, or that we just won't ever make it in the way that we think or that we want to make it. We won't live up to the expectations of ourselves or the expectations of others. Through Jesus, we know the mercy of God, and we know that those words that we tell ourselves and that we hear from others are not true. Through Jesus, we hear words of grace and acceptance, and we know that the mercies of God will right all of the wrong in our world. There is a poet and a priest from the 17th century. His name is John Donne, and I like saying his first and last name together like that. John Donne. Try it. It's nice. It's one of those names where you have to say the first and the last name together. You can't just say John or Don. You put them both. So John Donne says that, he says two things. He says when we come to this place, when we enter this church, when we come together like this, this place is built to remind us of the mercy of God. He says that the motes, the atoms in the air that are all around us are so full of the mercy of God. He says that here in the congregation, we cannot suck in a word from the preacher, we cannot speak, we cannot sigh a prayer to God, but that whole breath and air is made of mercy. And look around. Look around at what we have inside of this church. All of this is meant to evoke the mercy of God, that God is for you, not against you. The cross that we lift up, this image of humiliation and this image, this is the most humiliating way to die. Christ takes this cross and is what we put in all of our churches. We have an axe back there over the door on the far left. That axe is the axe that beheaded our patron saint, St. Alban. This thing that is meant to take us low is what reminds us of the mercy of God. The font in the middle of this room where we are baptized, where we are put to death ourselves and raised anew in the Holy Spirit. All of this is meant to tell us about the mercies of God. John Donne also says this: God does not furnish a room and leave it in the dark. God does not furnish a room and leave it in the dark. God furnishes a room and gives light so that we can see the mercies around us, so that we can see the good things that he's given us. The mercy that Christ offers us, that when we're not perfect and when we feel like we're not good enough, we have an advocate, we have an intercessor, and we have a friend. Jesus Christ does not show up to save us when we are unable to save ourselves and just walks away. He shows up, he advocates for us, for you, and for all creation. And that's what the author of the letter to the Hebrews is telling us. Christ comes to us. He comes to you. He hears you. And through this place, through this bread and this wine, through the waters of baptism, when we come together here, he tells us that he wants to be near you. Not when you're better, not when you're sober, not when next week you have everything figured out, but he wants to be near you right now, right here. And he is. Let us pray. Holy God, teach us to be aware of your presence. Let us meet you wherever we go. We pray all these things in your Son's holy name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the sermon podcast from St. Albans Episcopal Church in Waco, Texas. Find us online at stalbanswaco.org to learn more.